We just want to thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given all of us, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you for every brother, every sister, young and old, who are here, Lord. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for their hunger, their desire to get into your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to study your word, Lord. And our prayer, Lord, is that as we now open your word, Lord, that you would come, open our hearts, Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. That tonight, Lord, we can have a fresh encounter with you, and that, Lord, it would be life changing and life transforming. That this would not just be another Bible study or another church service, but that this would be just a new encounter with the true and living God. Oh, Lord, do the work that only you can do. I commit every brother, every sister into your hands. Lord, I pray that you would meet every need, Lord, tonight. I can only imagine all the needs that are present. There's some who are struggling. There are some who maybe have to make a big decision and they don't know what to do. There are some who are having problems within the family, Lord. There's just so many needs, Lord. That is just life in a fallen world. And tonight, Lord, we believe that you're the answer to all of our needs, Lord. And we just take the time to pray for every need, for every brother and sister. Meet the needs tonight, Lord, through the preaching of your word, through the ministry of your word. Holy Spirit, touch hearts and touch lives, and do that work that only you would do, Lord. That's our prayer. We ask all of it in Jesus' name, and all of the fam says, amen. Amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 4. And this evening, we're just going to continue our study in the book of Exodus. And we are now, by the grace of God, at chapter 4. But we shouldn't get too excited, because there's over 40 chapters. There's actually 40 chapters in the book of Exodus. And so we still have a long way to go. But praise God for chapter 4. So we're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to actually be looking at not the whole chapter, but just the first half, verses 1 through 17. And so when you have it, Exodus 4, verses 1 through 17, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. We'll read it together as a family. Amen, fam. Amen. Let's begin. Exodus 4, we'll begin in verse 1. We'll read all the way down to verse 17. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it out on the ground.' Throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and catch it by the tail.' So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, 'Put your hand inside your cloak.' And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. Then God said, 'Put your hand back inside your cloak.' So he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. 'If they will not believe you,' God said, 'or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seen or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he says, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. Amen, fam. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people says amen. And by saying amen, you agree with me that what we just read indeed is the word of the Lord. Tonight, fam, I've titled our study simply, He is Sufficient. He is Sufficient. If you recall, fam, in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, and we were looking at that for the past 3 weeks, we find what we call the call of Moses. We learn that through the burning bush, God appears to Moses, and really God appears to Moses to call him and to commission him to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. If you recall, fam, God tells Moses really 3 things, that he has seen the affliction of his people, that he has heard their cries, and that he knows their suffering. God saw the affliction, God heard the cries, God knew about their suffering and their situation in Egypt as they were being enslaved and in bondage. And so really, God tells Moses that the time has come for him to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. And really, God tells Moses that he's going to use him, and he's going to send him, and really through him, God was going to deliver his people. Now, if you recall that when Moses heard this and when Moses received this call from God, if you recall, initially Moses' response was, who am I? He was kind of overwhelmed, and he just said to the Lord, who am I, Lord, to do such a mighty deed? But if you recall that after Moses' initial response, God promised Moses and God assured Moses that he was going to be with him. And even though there was going to be opposition, and even though there was going to be obstacles, and even though there was going to be resistance by the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, God literally promises Moses, I'm going to do a work. And I promise you that I'm going to deliver my people from Egyptian bondage. God literally tells Moses that he's going to stretch out his hand. And the idea there is that he's going to do mighty works. And he's going to strike down Egypt. And he tells Moses that when it's all said and done, I will deliver my people from bondage. He's a saving God. He's a powerful God. And he gives Moses his word. It's going to happen. I will deliver my people from bondage, and nobody and nothing is going to stop me. And so that's what we've been looking at for the past few weeks. God's revelation to Moses, and really God's call to Moses that he's going to use him to deliver his people. Now, that's what we learned in chapter 3. And really, chapter 4 is simply a continuation of chapter 3. In other words, here in chapter 4, Moses is still on Mount Horeb, and Moses is still in the presence of God before the burning bush. But now in chapter 4, what we find is the focus now turns from the call of God to now Moses' response to the call of God. In other words, in chapter 3, God calls Moses, commissions Moses, tells Moses, "Moses, I'm going to send you to Egypt to deliver my people." And now in chapter 4, we see Moses' response. And really now we see Moses tries to talk his way out of God's call. After receiving God's call, after receiving his divine commission from the Lord, even after hearing God's promise that he would have success and victory, really in chapter 4 we see that Moses still doubts God. And Moses, he tries to get out of God's calling upon his life. And really what we see here, fam, is Moses brings two arguments before the Lord. Two excuses he presents to the Lord. And quickly, look with me in verse 1. The first argument or the first excuse was this. Moses tells the Lord, "Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" And so first, Moses tells the Lord, Lord, I can't go, because if I do go, nobody's going to believe me, Lord. Nobody is going to believe that you appeared to me and called me and commissioned me to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. And so the first excuse or the first argument that Moses brings is, Lord, nobody is going to believe me that I've been called by you. They're going to doubt the calling. They're going to doubt that I've been commissioned. They're going to doubt that you want to use me. Nobody's going to believe me. And then the second argument that Moses brings towards God, second excuse you might say, is in verse 10. There Moses tells the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." And so really, those are the two arguments or excuses that Moses brings to the Lord. That's really Moses' response. God called him, God commissioned him, God promised him victory and success. And Moses' response was first, "Lord, nobody's going to believe me, so I can't go because nobody's going to believe that you appeared to me and called me. Nobody's going to listen to me. Lord, nobody's going to follow me because they're just not going to believe all of that's been happening right now." That was his first excuse. And then his second excuse is, "Lord, nobody's going to listen to me because I'm a terrible speaker. I'm not a good public speaker, Lord. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an eloquent speaker. So, Lord, who wants to hear from me? Who's going to listen? Who's going to follow me, Lord? I can't even talk straight." So that's Moses' response. Lord, nobody's going to believe me, and Lord, nobody's going to listen to me. And so look at the conclusion in verse 13. This is his conclusion. Lord, please send someone else. Lord, these are the excuses. These are my arguments. This is my case against your call. Lord, you made a mistake. Please send someone else. How many times have we said that? The Lord has called us. The Lord has commissioned us. The Lord wants to use us. And we say, Lord, please use someone else. Now, that's Moses' response. But praise God that even though he had his excuses and his arguments and his concerns, that didn't affect God. The same way our excuses and concerns and arguments do not affect God. God is bigger. God is bigger than our weaknesses, than our little excuses. And God is patient with us. And God is very patient with Moses. And so in response to Moses' concerns and excuses, God promises Moses two things. Two things. First, in verses 1 through 9, God promises Moses that he will provide powerful signs. And through the signs, God would bear testimony to the people that truly Moses was sent by him. In other words, God tells Moses, hey, you know what? Don't worry. I'm going to perform signs through your hands. I'm going to perform miracles through your hands. And when the people see the miracles and see the signs, that's going to be evidence and proof that truly I sent you. And so in response of Moses' excuses, the first thing God promises is that he would work powerful signs through Moses. And these signs would be evidence that truly Moses is speaking on behalf of God. Now, let me just say this quickly. That promise by the Lord is very important because really that's the first time we see this theme coming up, and it's going to come up over and over and over again, that God confirms his message through miracles. And so really what you see here is the beginning of really what would take place throughout the history of Israel. God will send messengers, God will send prophets, and really God will work signs through them, confirming that they truly are prophets. In other words, God never expects anyone to believe just for the sake of believing, but God is always ready and willing to provide evidence. Evidence that truly this prophet or this apostle was sent by God. And so that's the first thing God tells Moses. Moses, don't worry. The people are going to believe that I sent you, because I'm going to work signs through your hand. Now, the second thing God promises Moses is that not only will he provide signs, but secondly, in verses 10 through 17, he promises Moses that he will provide a spokesperson. A spokesperson. Because remember, Moses's argument, excuse was, Lord, first, they're not going to believe me. And second, Lord, they're not going to listen to me because I'm a terrible speaker. I'm not an eloquent speaker. And so the Lord is so patient and so gracious. He literally tells Moses, don't worry. I have you covered. I'm going to take care of everything, and I'm going to give you signs. You're going to work signs, but also I'm going to give you help, a spokesperson, your brother Aaron. He will be with you, and he will be your spokesperson to the people. And Moses, he's going to be your mouthpiece. You are going to be as God to him. Now, the idea there is not so much that Aaron is going to worship Moses as God or serve Moses as God, but the idea there is Moses is going to receive the word from God, and then Moses is going to share that word to Aaron. And then Aaron is going to share that word to the people. And so that's the idea there, that Moses is going to be as God to him. In other words, Moses is going to be the authoritative figure, that Aaron is going to receive the word of the Lord from Moses, and Aaron is going to share it to the people. He would be Moses' mouthpiece. And so what we see here is that with every excuse Moses brought to the Lord, the Lord had an answer. That's what you have to see here. The Lord had an answer, the Lord provided, and the Lord was going to provide everything Moses needed to fulfill his calling. And that's the idea behind the idea that God is sufficient. God is sufficient. Moses has this calling. Moses is commissioned. God has a plan, a purpose for Moses. But Moses has these fears and these excuses and these concerns. And God wants Moses to understand, Moses, I'm sufficient. I'll take care of everything. I got you, Moses. I'm going to provide signs. I'm going to provide a spokesperson. I'm going to provide everything, Moses. I will call you, but I will also equip you to fulfill your calling. He is sufficient. And so that's what we see in Exodus 4. Moses has excuses, but God has answers for every excuse, and he is sufficient. Now, this is what we're going to do for our study tonight. And the reason why I kind of gave you just an overview, a summary of the chapter, is because tonight I'm going to go in a little different direction. And what I want us to focus on tonight, don't worry, the 3 points are coming. So some of you are getting a little scared and shaking. Where's the 3 points? They're coming, I promise you. But what I want us to do is I want to talk tonight about the call of God. The call of God. And I want to share with you a few things that we learn concerning God's call from chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Exodus. Because really, these chapters are all about God's call upon Moses. And the reason why I want to talk about God's call is because in the same way God called Moses, I believe with all my heart that in the same way God is calling every single one of us. What I mean by that? Simply this, that there's a calling upon your life, that God has called all of us to do something for him. That's the idea behind the calling of God, that God has called us, God has commissioned us to do something, that God desires to use you and to use me for his glory, that there is a divine calling upon our lives. I believe that with all my heart, that when we gave our life to Christ, God didn't call us just to receive and to sit on the sidelines. God didn't call us simply to be spectators, but God has called us to be participants, to be involved, to be players on the field. God has called us to lift up our sleeves and get to work. There's a calling upon our lives. Every single one of us, there is a divine calling upon our lives. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, that God has called us to do something. He wants to use us in a powerful way. But listen to this, and this is one of the reasons why I want to focus on this theme tonight. Like Moses, here in chapter 4, many of us have doubts and concerns and excuses that are keeping us from fulfilling God's call upon our lives. In other words, God wants to use us. God wants to raise us up. God wants to send us, to commission us. And if we're honest, deep down inside, all of us want to be used by God. We want to impact our family. We want to impact our church. We want to impact our community, our coworkers, our generation. God has called us, and deep down inside, we want to be used. But like Moses, oftentimes there's doubts, there's concerns, there's excuses that are holding us down and keeping us from God's calling. We know God is calling us. We know that God is opening up doors and giving us opportunities. We sense the calling of God. We sense that God wants to use us, that God wants us to serve in some area. But like Moses, oftentimes we say, "Who am I, Lord? Please use someone else." Oftentimes, like Moses, we're saying, "Lord, nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to listen to me, Lord. I don't really know too much about the word. I'm not a good speaker. Lord, I don't have 3 points like Adam. I don't even have 1 point, Lord. Lord, it's hard. It's difficult. It's overwhelming. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm always failing. Lord, please use someone else." Moses went through it. We go through it. Some of you are going through it tonight. There's a calling, but a lot of times we're answering with excuses. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about God's call. And I want to encourage you. And I want to share with you 3 things that from these chapters we learn about God's call. And to be honest, fam, I don't plan on being too long tonight. Amen. Are you saying amen about me being short, or amen about 3 things concerning God's call? Whatever you're saying, amen, I'll take it. I'll take it tonight. Amen. 3 things, all right? 3 things. Let's chop these chapters up. First thing I want you to see, I want you to understand. Be encouraged tonight. First, when God calls, he calls weak and imperfect instruments. When God calls, what we see in Scripture is that he doesn't call strong, mighty, perfect, sinless instruments. But the pattern in Scripture is that when God calls, when God's going to do something, he always chooses and calls weak and imperfect instruments. We see that in Moses. We see that in David, who was the youngest of his family, the rut of the family. We see that in the prophets, and we especially see that in the apostles, the disciples. If you recall, the apostles, the disciples, other than the apostle Paul, they were not learned men. They were not educated men. There was no seminary training. There was no master's in divinity. But many of them were fishermen. Many of them were what we would call average Joes. And so from the beginning, we see that pattern in Scripture. That when God calls, He chooses weak, He chooses fragile, He chooses messy, He chooses imperfect, He chooses humble, He chooses meek instruments to do His work in and through. And so tonight, if you're sensing God's call, if you know that God has called you to do something, but if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling inadequate, if you're feeling unqualified, take courage. That's simply confirming that there is a calling upon your life. Take courage. Rejoice. If there are those struggles, rejoice if there is this sense that, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. Lord, I don't have too much education. Lord, I'm simple. Lord, I'm humble. Lord, I'm young. Lord, I can't speak like him, or Lord, I can't teach like her. Rejoice if that's you. Because those are the people that God wants to use. God wants to use weak instruments, imperfect instruments. God wants to use those who are fragile and those who are broken and those who are simple. Those who make mistakes. Those who make mistakes. As we're going to see through our study in Exodus, Moses made a lot of mistakes. That was God's instrument. Because God rejoices in calling the weak. Because listen to this. It's through the weak instruments, it's through the imperfect instruments that God is most glorified. God is most glorified when he uses people like you and me. And that's why God desires to raise up weak instruments, because God will not share his glory with anyone. God doesn't want people to say, oh, well, it's because, man, they're eloquent. Or, man, because they got a lot of education, they got a lot of schooling. Oh, man, it's just because they have the personality, the charisma. God doesn't want people to say that, but God wants people to say, like, what? Them? There must be a God in heaven. What? He's preaching, he's teaching, she's sharing, she's witnessing, he's doing this, he's reaching out. What? I used to know them, I know them. Must be real. That's the only thing that can explain. I remember once I saw a buddy that I used to hang out with. He didn't know what happened to me. We lost contact. And the first thing he asked me when I saw him is, what are you doing? I said, you know what, I'm a pastor, I preach, I teach, you should come to church with me. And he said, what? What? Literally he told me, I would love to go just to see if it's true, because I know you, I used to know you. And I was like, yeah, you used to know me. Well, that me is long gone. Jesus killed that me. He never came to church, unfortunately, but that was his response. And that will be the people's response to you. What? We want people to say what? We want that. God wants that, because God doesn't share his glory with anyone. God wants all the attention, all the focus, all the glory. God wants people to say, man, it's only by the grace of God. And so when he calls, guess what? He calls the weak. He calls the imperfect. And so don't say or don't have the idea, but God, I'm not ready. But God, I'm not able. But God, I'm not there yet. Because God knows that. And that's why God is calling you. That's why God wants to use you. Because you are weak. You are fragile. You haven't arrived. He glories and rejoices in calling and using weak and imperfect instruments. So that's the first thing we see in the call of God, concerning the call of God. When God calls, he calls the weak, he calls the imperfect. He calls those who are looked down upon by society. He calls those that people question the calling. Like, what? Nah, not him, not her. But they don't have their degree, but they don't have their trip. But it can't be them. That's the type of people God delights in using. Now, let me share with you a second thing. First, when God calls, he calls weak and imperfect instruments. Second, when God calls, he provides the equipment. He provides the equipment. In other words, when God calls you to do something, when God commissions you, when God puts a calling upon your life, he's going to provide everything you need to fulfill that calling. There is a saying that where God guides, he provides. And when God calls, he equips. He equips. And so if God is calling you to do something like Moses, trust that in the same way God provided the equipment for Moses, God will provide the equipment for you. And what I mean by that is the tools, the abilities, the giftings, the talents, the resources. God will provide everything you need to fulfill your calling. Everything. God will even give you the desires that you need. Let me give you a beautiful testimony. I remember all my life, I never had a desire to you would say be a pastor, okay, or a teacher, whatever you want to call it, or both. Never. You know, I had all my life I was raised in a Christian home. All my life I was the son of a pastor. All my life I was around the church, around Christian ministry. I heard preaching, teaching. I just knew how it all worked all my life because that's all I knew. But it never was my desire. I'll be honest with you. My greatest desire is I wanted to play football. I wanted to play professional football. When I was in high school, I thought I was going to be like the next Bo Jackson. Some of you don't know who that is, but that's who I used to like. And literally, that all got shattered when I blew out my knee. And so I didn't really know what I wanted to do after that, but a few years later, I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to go to school. I wanted to be an accountant. True story. Wanted to be a CPA. Not because I liked numbers, but at the time I just liked money. Wanted to make money. And one of my professors said, hey, if you do this, you're going to make a lot of money in the valley. I said, okay, let's go for it. Never wanted to be a preacher, teacher, pastor. And then I gave my life to the Lord. And shortly after I gave my life to the Lord, I just knew God was calling me to teach his word, to preach his word. I just sensed the calling of God upon my life. And once I received God's calling and really submitted and surrendered to God's calling, shortly after that, the desires began to flood my heart. And for the first time, all I wanted to do was teach the word and preach the word and study the word. There was a hunger for God's word and there was a passion for the preaching of God's word. Never in my life did I want to. People used to ask me when I was young, hey, do you want to take over for your dad? Do you want to fall in the footsteps of your dad? No, I just said, no, I don't. That's not me. But when God calls, God also provides the equipment. He gives you the desires. He gives you the talents. He gives you the resources. He gives you the understanding. He gives you the words. He does everything. We do nothing. We just stand back and watch. God at work. And God calls, he provides the equipment. So be encouraged. If God is calling you to do something, but if you feel unqualified or inadequate, don't worry. God will provide the equipment. God will give you what you need to do what he's called you to do. Oh, he'll touch your heart. He'll touch your mind. He'll touch your tongue. He'll make you into that instrument that he's calling you to be. Provides everything. You know, I love the Word of God because one of the reasons why is in the Word of God, God always presents himself and presents his salvation, presents his work as something that he wants to do. God is always active in the Word. God is always the focus. God is always the hero. And God never expects his people really to do anything. He always just desires to do it in them and through them. He's an active God. He's a God full of grace. God desires to do the work in our lives. He desires to provide, to equip, to prepare, to empower, to enable everything and anything he calls us to do. And so first, when God calls, he calls weak and imperfect instruments. Second, when God calls, he provides the equipment. And so if God's calling you, trust that he's going to provide the equipment to fulfill that calling. If God's asking you to do something, if God's calling you to do something, trust that he's going to give you the words. He's going to give you the understanding. He's going to give you the boldness. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you everything you need to fulfill that calling. Don't allow your lack of qualification to keep you from fulfilling God's call in your life. Don't allow that. Don't think that's a problem for God. Don't think God is limited by your limitations. A lot of times we have that mentality that, oh, I can't. The problem is we're always saying I. Stop focusing on you and start focusing on him. I know you can't do it and I know I can't do it. But here's the question, what could God do? What could God do? What does God want to do through you? That's always the question. What does God want to do through you, through your life? Don't ask the question, what can you do, but what can God do? No, that's always the mentality every time I minister the Word of God. And that's why I preach the way I preach. Because the truth is, I can't do anything. I have nothing to share with you. Nothing. But it's not about me. It's about what does God want to do amongst his people? What does God want to share with you? What does God want to tell you? What does the Word of God want to do in your life, in your heart? And when you understand that, man, you always can minister the word. You're like dynamite. Every time you share, every time you teach, every time you witness, every time you talk to an unsaved family member, a coworker, it's like a volcano. You're unstoppable. Straight up. You're a lion. Because it's not what you're going to do, but what does God want to do? How does God want to use you? Does God want to reach out to that person through you? It's not about us, fam. It's all about God. Our biggest problem like Moses's in chapter 3 and 4, is he was focused on himself rather than being focused on the one who was calling him and commissioning him. And we always make the same mistake. So focused on ourselves that we forget who's calling us, who's commissioning us, who's opening up the doors. Who's opening up the doors? Who's giving us opportunities? Who's putting these people in our path? God knows we're weak. God knows we're imperfect. God knows that we're unqualified. But he's still opening up the doors. Why? Because he wants to do something through us. He wants to use us. He doesn't make mistakes. God make mistakes? Not. So when it's time to speak, when it's time to share, when it's time to minister, be bold. God doesn't make mistakes. How many would say amen to that? First, when God calls, he calls weak and imperfect instruments like you and me. Second, when God calls, he provides the equipment. And I end with this, okay? I end with this. Third, when God calls, he only asks for obedience and dependence. Obedience and dependence. That's all God asks for. Doesn't ask for so to say, talents and resources. He's not looking for gifted people and powerful people and mighty people. Not to say he can't use those type of people. Please don't misunderstand me. But that's not a requirement. That's not what God is looking for or asking for. He only asks for obedience, trust, and dependence. That's all God's asking for. He calls you. He's putting something in your heart. He's giving you opportunities. He's putting people in your path. And all God asks us is that you would be obedient. Take a step of faith, a step of obedience. Do something. And while you're doing it, trust in him. Depend upon him. Rely upon him. Take a step of faith and trust him that he's going to provide everything that you need. It's the only requirement to be used by God. Let God use you. It's as simple as that. Just let God use you. Even in spite of all the weaknesses and imperfections, just let God use you. Just allow God to use you. God can do a work. All he asks is that we depend and trust in him. God bless you, fam. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, I